Welcome to Runtime Provisioning in Windows 10, everyone. My name's Macca.
My name's Jeff. How are you guys?
Great. Awesome.
Good. Awesome. They didn't give you any beer? Just hot dogs? Rick Klaus, you'll see those little ketchup packets, you know, the little things you squeeze? He thinks that is the best engineering marvel in the world. Because he only saw that for the first time in 2013. And he's like, oh my God, that is the coolest ketchup pack I've ever seen in my life. The little ones that... I mean, he squirted himself the first time he used it because he couldn't work out how to use it. But anyway.
Yeah, I actually watched an American guy from Corp the first time he ever went to visit a certain very large supermarket chain in Melbourne, having a bit of lunch in their cafeteria, trying to open one backwards, and it landed around about there. Wasn't too good, but anyway, never mind.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're standing between you and beer, and that's never a good place to be, so we're going to kick into this right now and get moving. So... I'm sure you're all PowerPointed out today. Well, at least you should be by now. So we're going to go straight into a demo and
before
and
we do that, though,
off.
How many of you have done deployment projects? How many of you like deployment projects?
All I did that shtick yesterday, man.
Right? How many of you do Config Manager, MDT? All right. Well, we're going to talk to you about something new in Windows 10. All right? We're going to kick it off with a demo, right?
Absolutely right. So what we've tried to do with this is make it easier for you to take a machine that's been directly bought from, let's say, Harvey Norman or some kind of retailer, bring it into your place of work, and then getting it to a state where it's acceptable to be either joined or completely joined to your network, or at least get us to a point where it's compliant with policy so that we can start doing something useful with it. As opposed to just going out there and immediately repaving the entire machine, waiting for X amount of time for it to do a re-image when it's absolutely ready to go at that point. We just want to say, look, pull the thing off the shelf, get it started up, run a quick script over it effectively, hit all of the MDM providers, the configuration service providers in the operating system with the information they need to configure the box to get us going straight away, and then rather than waiting 45 minutes an hour for the user to be productive, we want them to be productive within about 5 minutes. So hopefully, Jeff's in at a position here where he needs some help from me, his IT administrator.
Yes.
Good.
So, I got a new device, Macca.
Have you now?
Yeah, and can you help me out with getting it provisioned for the corporate network?
Well, in the spirit of cheesy Microsoft roleplay, then yes, of course I will.
Right. So what would we do in the past to do this? How long would we have to leave a machine? If somebody bought a new machine and they took it, well, how long would they have to leave it with the help desk before it was ready to be on the corporate network and ready to rock and roll?
Hours,
right. Yeah, and we got a new machine here that's running Windows 10 Professional, okay? And I need this thing to be ready for the corporate network. So can you do anything for me?
Yeah, damn straight I can do something for you. So if I was to provide you with, not your IM window, if I was to provide you with just a couple of sets of files that will essentially go into your machine and reconfigure it the way you need it to get onto the environment. That's probably what you want, right?
Yeah, that'd be good.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'll give you a hand with this because I understand that you're a little bit simple and you probably need a bit of help.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right, if you can go into the settings for me.
Okay, I can go.
Hang on, you don't know where the settings are, do you?
Yeah, pretty sure. You know, I just started using Windows 10, so, you know, I think I can probably get there. So
cool.
Let me try.
No
so
worries.
I'm in settings. That's pretty easy.
All right, now go into accounts.
Oh, go into accounts. We're going to do something with my account, are we?
Yeah, we are. That is very pretty, mate.
Isn't that a nice photo?
It is. And now we're going to go into work access.
All right. So we're going to go to work access. Now, there we go.
You there? You there? You good?
I'm there. Got it.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's go down to add or remove a management package.
Oh, too easy.
Cool. So this is going to be dead simple for your users, right? Only what, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be loving it. They'll be lapping it up. But
right.
That's okay. Now what we'll do is we'll just add that from your removable media, which in this case happens to be a Hyper-V virtual 3.5-inch disk,
yes.
Which I'm sure you've got plenty of them lying around. And you can see straight away, sorry.
We're just using the old floppy here to get this package sorted out.
I'm not even going to go there.
We've
just gone to our removable media, and you can see straight away that this package has come up. Right? So what we're not having to do here from the end user's perspective is go and muck around in a file system and play around with some stuff that's a little bit alien to me. So you saw before that I showed you that area of the file system that had a PPKG file, it had some XML stuff. Basically what that was a file that contained all of the information to be provisioned down to the machine via OMADM commands, everything that was needed for that machine to basically be ready to work on my network. And all the other files that go around that are some ancillary files that it may need. So if you can just sort of hit that PPKG file for me now and run that. We're going to do a whole bunch of things. So on this machine, the first thing we're going to do is change the product key. Because you've brought this stinking pro machine into my environment, and I need to turn that into an enterprise machine because I'm using direct access and a bunch of other things that are specific to the enterprise features. Now, in the past, if I wanted to change this from a pro machine to an enterprise machine, it may not be that easy. I might have to completely re-image it. What I want to do now is basically just change the game, flip it from a pro machine to an enterprise machine, and get it going again. What I'm also going to do here is I'm going to throw a certificate down to the machine because we need some certificates to auto-enroll me with some Wi-Fi access points. And I've also got some company documents that I want to make sure are always in the public documents folder of any machine that's on my network. So rather than me having to put it into my image and throw that down onto the machine, thus taking time to re-image it, this provisioning package is going to make sure that that critical information is put into the public documents directory and I'm all good to go. So what does that how does that sound, Jeff?
Well, as a user, I didn't understand any of that, but you know, I'll trust you and I'll go for it. What do you reckon? We're at it.
Excellent. Well, let's click yes, shall we?
Let's click yes. Users always click yes, right?
That's right.
How many of you users just click yes or next? Right.
Any message that comes to them from a web page. Excellent. Sounds like my kids.
There we go. So what's it doing now for me?
Well, now it's preparing to do something. So basically, it's getting itself ready to consider the possibility of potentially doing something to your machine. And then once it's done that, it's going to reboot a few times. So basically, what's going to happen here is it's going to gather all the information it needs about the machine. It's going to check to make sure that the configuration service providers that it needs to apply all the settings to the machine are there and active. And then once it's done that, it will apply what it needs to apply. This will cause one or more reboots depending on how much you're doing and which of these features that are being applied actually require a reboot. So you'll generally speaking see around about one or two reboots on one of these before the machine is good to go. And when this machine comes back up, it will miraculously be an enterprise edition, it will have the extra certificate it needs, and it will have the document it needs in its public directory.
Awesome.
So this is basically the end state where we want to be. So I might actually hand it over to you, Jeff, to talk a little bit about what is going on here.
Okay. So I'm going to switch out of my user role that I was in there before, and I'm going to move in and talk about what we're actually doing with Windows 10 from a provisioning perspective. Now, a lot of you actually talked about the fact that you have been involved in deployment projects and all that kind of stuff. This gives you another option, okay, to take a device and transform that device without re-imaging. And that's the thing that we want you guys to take away with, is that you can transform a device with its provisioning, not imaging. Okay, so it allows you to actually take a pro device that you have and turn that into an enterprise or, as you would say, an education SKU, I think was what you said. You prefer an education SKU in your current role. And you can install apps, you can install an enterprise configuration, you can bulk enroll into a mobile device management, into an MDM Theority. So if you want to enroll into Intune, a Mobile Eye, or an AirWatch, you can do that. Now, we have a number of different methods that you can get this down to the user, okay? What we were just showing you is using media, okay? So we use the virtual floppy in our Hyper-V virtual machine to do that. There's other methods that you can do that. If you're using a phone, if we have time, we're going to show you how to do this with a new phone as well. So we have USB tethering or even email or manual distribution. You could leverage NFC or QR codes for phone devices, all right? So it's a way for us to actually take that device and allow you to do that. Now, how many of you have concerns over deployment? Yeah? What concerns do you have?
Deprovisioning.
Oh, deprovisioning, yes. Well, this is what people think of when they're talking about another deployment project. When was the last deployment project you guys did? You all deployed Windows 8, right? All deployed in your enterprise? No, nobody, everybody's not shaking their head. No, last one was probably Windows 7. And how long did that take you to deploy Windows 7? I had somebody say to me in Adelaide when we were doing an IT camp that actually said, I don't know, I'll let you know when it's finished. And it was going for 2 years already. So it's like it could be, you know, and you're saying things like, oh, not this again. This is going to be another huge bulk deployment scenario. It's going to take forever. It's time consuming. Compatibility issues, all these kind of things. But I wish there was a better way for me to actually do this. I wish there was a better way. You have more images to maintain. I wish there was something we could do that was a lot better in this regard. I don't think this reaches over there because I'm hitting the button. Ah, there we go. Wish there was an easier way for me to actually do this. So This is where runtime provisioning comes into play. Okay, so the runtime provisioning that we have in Windows 10 is what they're going to come in. I'm going to talk a little bit about what it is. Macro's going to go down into a little bit more detail about how it works. And then we're going to come back to that demo, that beginning demo that we did, show you how, once that machine's finished, show you what happened, show what we actually changed, and then go into showing you the tool that we're going to use to actually create the PPKG files. Okay, so we're going to go through that in a sec. So this is what you can actually do with this. You can configure new devices off the shelf. How many of you are looking into BYOD right now in your organizations? And it's called a whole bunch of different things. So you're allowing your users to go down to the Pacific Fair or whatever, JB Hi-Fi, buy the latest device. It comes with what on the machine? Windows 10 Professional, right? That's not the one you're using. You're using Enterprise, right? So you want to turn this into an Enterprise device. Now, the key thing here is it works with both mobile devices and the new phones that we've got coming out with Windows 10 phone on them. I've got a 950 XL, and we're going to show you the same thing that we did on that device, on the virtual machine. We're going to do the same thing on a phone, right, so that we can do that. The other key thing is network connectivity is not required. You can apply these packages offline, okay, so you don't need network connectivity to do it. I don't know if I agree with the fourth term, simple enough to use by employees. What do you think? Do you think it's simple enough for employees to do it, Mecca? I don't know if I agree with that, but your mileage may vary depending upon how savvy your users are. So we'll see how we go with that. It can be integrated with existing solutions. We can take the PPKG file, we can integrate that into a Config Manager image so that you can use it as part of that. So it will integrate with all those existing solutions. And since it's the evening session, please feel free to ask questions as we go through, right? Okay, so please feel free to do that because it's the evening session. I don't think the distance, I can walk very far here because it doesn't work. It works when I get this close, but when I go over there, it doesn't.
Excellent. Would you like me to move the slides for you, mate?
No, it's okay. It's okay. So when do you use it? When do you use this, and when do you use your standard image engineering that you would use normally? So you're configuring a device where you may not have an MDM. You want to do some automation of that. The biggest thing is ensuring compliance of the device before the device is actually enrolled, because we can put our certificate down to the device. Because oftentimes, the first time that you're configuring that device, you know, think about a phone, when somebody gets a phone, the first time that any kind of enterprise stuff gets down to that phone is when they connect to their Exchange server and they get PIN policies and all that kind of stuff. We can do this prior to that. We can do it before it with these provisioning packages, all right, before that device is actually enrolled. Now, how that worked better? How it works. So we have a new tool. How many of you know about the ADK? Okay, how many of you downloaded the ADK for Windows 10? It's only about 5 gigabytes, all good. Okay, it has a new tool in there called Wicked, Windows Image and Configuration Designer, Wicked for short. Okay, so Wicked is the tool that creates the provisioning package. When Macro was talking and showed you the files that we had in that directory, that is a bundling of our settings, our profiles, our assets into a PPKG file that we can then distribute to the user's device. Now, we don't have to re-image the device to add these things to it. Okay, so we don't have to do any of that re-imaging. All those binaries can be included in the package, or they can be referenced by a URL that you can send to the user. The user can click on the package, and in the case of Windows Phone, as soon as that package is, like, say if you've got a phone that has a micro SD card in it, as soon as it sees that package, Windows Phone will come up and say, hey, I just recognized there's a package. Do you want to add it to this device? All right? So all that stuff gets packaged up into that, and that PPKG file can be included into that. Now, oftentimes what you see is that you buy a new machine and you have the UBI experience, the out-of-box experience, right? So that is your new first-run device. They decided on 5 taps of the Windows button. I don't know why does anybody know why they decided on 5? I have no idea why they decided on 5, but they did.
I reckon if you've hit the thing 5 times,
you're probably
pretty much you're going, yeah, look, I actually do want to do this.
So it's kind of like the ultra are you sure button, right?
Yeah.
So you hit the button, the Windows key 5 times, it'll pop up a message, and it'll look and go, okay, I'm going to look at removable media, whether that's a micro SD card, whether it's USB. NFC is for mobile devices only. And it's going to pop up this message for you. I'm too far away again, so I'll do that again. Now, you can also do it during runtime. Okay, so click on a PPKG file from an email. So after the fact, you can add these packages afterwards. Okay, so if you want to add multiple packages, you can go into settings, you can go into where we went into work access and add additional packages to that. Okay, from email, local storage, USB tether, which we're going to show you in a sec. Embedded in the image. So if you are using Config Manager, you can embed these PPKG files into the image itself. All right, so you have the opportunity to do that. Now, what does it actually look like? This is what it looks like on the phone. Okay, we've got the nice little animation of the user hitting the button five times. Five taps on the button will open up the provisioning menu.
I think one of the things that would have been really good to do that, do there, would be once the poor saps hit the button five times to say, are you sure anyway?
Yeah.
Just as the ultimate kick in the pants.
Yeah. Are you really sure that you want to do this? Right. So here's what you're seeing is I'm actually reading the removable media. This could be the micro SD card on that device. I'm reading that, and I'm looking at the packages that I've got. And you notice in this case, we've created a number of different packages for different scenarios. I like the 9-digit PIN one. That's my favorite. You know, make them do a 9-digit PIN in that scenario. You know, if you're the angry admin that's going to leave and you want to do something nice for your users before you leave, that's a good one. Allow camera. So if you want to disable, if you're in a government, you know, a lot of government departments want to actually disable the camera. Okay, so you can turn off the camera, you can turn off these kind of things. Bulk enrollment into an MDM. Okay, so if you're going to join an MDM for bring the device under management, like Intune, you can do bulk enrollment for that. That's an option for that. And you can see the NFC for this or a removable media. In the case of the Lumia 950 XL, it has a slot for a micro SD, and that's what I'm going to show you in a second when we get back to the next demo. Where is it located? So you go into provisioning. You go add package. It's located under settings, accounts, sign in options, okay? And there's a provisioning section in there for that. And it's in a slightly different place on the phone, and we'll show you that in a sec. So you could drag it on the Windows phone. So if you're going to do USB tether, okay? So you have a phone connected via USB tether, you can drag this over to the phone itself. The Windows phone itself will pop up with a message to say, what do you want to do with this package? All right, so it'll allow you to actually do that as well. So now, the other thing a lot of people ask us is if you haven't encrypted this particular file, it will ask if this is from a source you trust. We didn't ask that, but do we trust that package that we just added to that VM? It's all good, right?
You didn't have much of a choice, mate.
We didn't have, it's all good now.
I told you to do it.
All right, so it'll tell you what it's going to do. This is showing you what it looks like if the package is not signed or it hasn't been signed, it's not encrypted. All right, so that will show you that message. Otherwise, you won't see that at that point in time. All right. Here's after the fact. So when we're managing packages, we can manage and we can go in and actually see what the packages have done. Okay, so for example, I've got a number of packages that I've added to this device. I've got a 9-digit PIN because I really like my users a lot. I can then go, I can see the other one, which is my bulk enrollment. I can delete the package. I can remove the settings profile NAPS. Now, one thing I wanted to point out to you, the move from Pro over to Enterprise is a one-way street. You're not going back to Pro right now after the fact. I believe it's on the roadmap, but not yet at this point in time. So that's kind of where you look at managing the packages that are there. I'm going to do this behind me. And then when you click on that package, after the package has been added to the machine, this shows you exactly what has been done, gives you a package ID, who the author was for that particular package, and some more detail what that package actually affects, what it actually does. It's a consistent user interface across both phone and also PCs as well and tablets, so you get the same interface for that. Now I'm going to hand over to Macca because he's going to tell us what we can provision. And then we'll come back to the demo and we'll actually show you what happened with that machine.
Alrighty, so this is not going to be an absolutely exhaustive list, and there's plenty of documentation available about this on TechNet and indeed within the Wicked tool itself. One of the really useful things about the Wicked tool is when you're building one of these provisioning packages, if you're not quite sure at what it is that you're looking at in terms of the settings that you can actually set, you get a whole lot of inline help in order to do that. But as you can see, there's a whole bunch of high-level areas in which we can play here. Things like the initial setup of the device. So what do we want to do with that? Do we want to join a domain? And what credentials are we going to need to provide to the device in order to join that domain? An edition upgrade, so taking us from Pro or Enterprise, et cetera, and so on and so forth. You'll notice that if you look at a lot of our literature, we talk very heavily about the ability for us not just to be able to provision applications, but also to get rid of certain applications. Because what are we very likely to get when we've pulled a machine off the shelf and started it up for the first time with an OEM image on it? Bloatware. You are likely to get antivirus, I suppose. Yeah, and it might not be the one you want. You might want to remove that and replace it with something else. Did I hear crap? Right, a lot of people say that. I'm not going to say it, of course, because I'm being recorded. But you all heard that coming from the audience. So let's have a bit of a breakdown there of what we can do. The addition upgrade, right? Massive, massive benefit here. Not having to re-image the machine. Fantastic. That initial setup. So give us the computer name. Determine where we want to join in terms of a domain or an Azure Active Directory or something like that. Also, hide that first run experience from the end user because we don't particularly want them interacting with it at this particular point in time. We're taking their stuff and then putting it across. Oren.
Okay, so you said that you can go and put a key in. Can you actually say, look, I don't want to use a key. What I want you to do is go and talk to a KMS server.
Yeah, there are two different ways in which you can do the licensing. I'll show you that when we get into the wicked tool.
So
they're repeating the question, can I choose a KMS rather than just a licensing key? We'll show you that in the tool. Alrighty, in terms of management enrollment. So do I want to enroll this device with an MDM provider such as Microsoft Intune? Or perhaps if I do the Azure Active Directory join, we can just do the automatic provisioning directly into Microsoft Intune from there. Universal Windows apps. Now, interestingly enough, when you're playing around in the Wicked tool, in the configuration and imaging and configuration designer tool, you'll notice that there is a very distinct node that says applications. And the first thing that people assume is that when we go into that node and we choose to add an application, the first thing we'll be asked to do is go and find our MSI that we want to put down to the machine. And some people get a little bit disappointed when they go into that applications node and click add because the only thing that they can go and look for are AppX files. So when you're working with this, you need to make the distinction between the applications node, which is for Universal Windows apps or AppX-based apps, and essentially Win32 scripting capabilities, which allow us to then pull an MSI file or something of that description in order to install it on the machine. Like so. So you need to be thinking about the difference there. And we've had quite a few people get a little bit confused when they go into that applications node and assume that we just don't support installing any type of application other than an AppX-based application or a Windows Store-based application. So we'll be able to find the ability to do this in the Win32 application scripting section. Now, under the hood, what's happening here? Well, basically what we're doing is we're providing the machine a whole bunch of OMADM commands to be applied against that machine to provision it the way we want to. So essentially what happens is we read that provisioning package, we then apply that through the configuration service providers on the machine to configure that machine the way we want. The way we create that in the first place is we use the Wicked tool to create the package, we then feed the package into the provisioning engine, which read it and apply the settings that we need. Additionally, what we can also do is configure a whole bunch of other profile settings, such as the ActiveSync client, to do what we need to do when it comes to ActiveSync capable settings, such as locking the machine down, connecting to email, and so on and so forth. When it comes to encryption.
Question.
So the question is, when we're talking about the ActiveSync profile, does that go across to the Outlook Mail client? Is this what we're... What we're doing here, so that we're trying to differentiate whether or not we're locking down the Outlook client as opposed to playing around with the generic ActiveSync settings on the machine. Remember, what we're doing here is we're using Open Mobile Alliance device management commands, so we're dealing with the generic mail on the machine. Now, when it comes to security encryption, couple of things to think about here. When you're thinking about a provisioning package, this is potentially something that could be dangerous in the wrong hands. Do you necessarily want someone that shouldn't be executing this particular package to execute it? Because it might be dumping a whole bunch of certificates onto that machine that can essentially allow them onto your network. Might be setting up a whole bunch of Wi-Fi profiles, et cetera, and you may not want people playing around with this. So we gave you the ability to encrypt packages to ensure that a user couldn't actually execute them without an appropriate password. And the issue with creating passwords is that we have a tendency to create passwords that are not quite as secure as they could be. And if we are going to provide an employee with a provisioning package that requires them to enter a password, it's very tempting for us to say, you know what? Our users are not going to be able to cope with this because our users can barely spell their own name. So we want to ensure that we can make this as easy as possible for them. So our natural inclination is to make the password easy. You know, we don't want people using 123456 or PAS $W0RD or whatever it might be as the password. So what we will do if you choose to encrypt this package is we will create the encryption password for you. We will not allow you to change that. So now you can present your user with a very long 12 plus digit password that they will hate you forever for. And there's nothing they can do about it. They're going to need to put that password in. Sorry?
Microsoft generated, I'll blame Microsoft.
Yeah, probably will. So the comment was Microsoft generated, they'll just blame Microsoft. But you know, we get the blame for pretty much everything anyway, so we may as well add another thing, who cares? All right, so. I'm not very on message. Sorry about that. That's all right. That's we can edit that out later on. Don't worry about that. That'll be just fine. The other thing you may want to do within the Wicked tool is to sign this package, because effectively what we want to be able to do is ensure that the package has not been tampered with since we built it. And by signing the package and having the password provided to the package, that will then avoid the pop-up message that Jeff was talking about before around, are you sure that you trust this package? Like so. The interesting thing is that we can also set policy here to accept only assigned packages in the machine, so that if the package is not signed in the first place, we can avoid asking the question and just deliberately close that down.
Does it matter who signs it? Like an evil incorporated.com?
Does it matter who signs it? Can evil.com incorporated sign this package and get away with it? If you happen to have evil.com's root certificate in your trusted root store, absolutely. But you know, if you can't verify the chain of trust, then obviously we're going to break that chain of trust and we're going to start asking you the question straight away. In terms of managing our packages, at the end of the day, we could end up in a position here where we have an awful lot of packages to manage over time. And when we build a package, we have the ability to create that package with a version number. And we also have the ability at the phone level to ensure that if we reset that phone, to remove any provision content that's been provided to that phone from the provisioning package, whilst retaining any of the end user's data on that particular phone, because we don't necessarily want to harm the user's personal data, but we do potentially want to remove any corporate data that's been put there. In terms of how we actually troubleshoot our provisioning packages when and if they fail, well, it really depends on what you're doing. Are we dealing with this on a phone, or are we dealing with this on a desktop style OS? Now, if you're on a phone, you need to download the Field Medic application from the Windows Store. I'm not sure if Jeff has that on the phone, if he's going to show that or not, but we can have a look at that a little bit later on. And on a desktop, you'll be wanting to use WPR.exe, which is the Windows Performance Reader. And you'll find this particular application in the ADK. I reckon it's a bit of a sleeper of an application. Not that many people know about it, but it's a really depth-level performance monitoring capability that essentially allows you to grab trace logs from the machine and really get an idea deep down of what's happening on that particular machine. Once you've been running Performance Recorder and you've been recording what's happening, then you can open up those logs with Performance Analyzer and see what's been going on. So why don't we jump over and have a look at what this Wicked tool actually looks like.
How did that machine go, by the way?
Ah, that might be a very good thing to show you, mightn't it? Well, I think you should show the machine because it's your machine, not mine.
Right, so we've rebooted the machine. We started off, I'm pretty sure we showed you that this was a professional device before. So one of the things that we wanted to do with this package is to uplift this device to enterprise. So now what you see is we have Windows 10 Enterprise.
Hooray.
That's your cue for the American clapping that has to happen right now.
Well, thank you. And this is the first time since the conference started that anyone has actually clapped, probably.
So we haven't, the big thing we want you to take away with that one is we haven't had to re-image this device. We were able to stay on the devices, turn it into an enterprise device. We also were able to go and add the document that we actually wanted to add. Say this was a user manual. In this case, it's a document about how the people down in the showcase are supposed to, what they're supposed to do down in the showcase.
But such I was able as to not add rogue wireless points.
Rogue wireless points. That's one thing.
Might have helped.
This is a PDF that was done. That kind of stuff. So we could even get down to the point where we're going to go and put apps onto the start menu. Okay. So if you have a line of business app that you want to put onto the start menu, you can publish that to the start menu as well with this packages, so that the user gets everything they actually need in order to use the device in the enterprise without actually re-imaging the device. Okay. So how did you go and create that package? What are the steps for us to do? What tool did you use?
All right. So the first thing we're going to need to do is get the Wicked tool down to our machine. So what you can see here is an example of the Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer. And you can see here a provisioning package that's already been created. Now, when you create yourself a provisioning package, you'll see that there are a whole bunch of different nodes that you can play around with here that show you the different settings that you can set. And as you set settings and actually edit this particular file, it's very easy to lose track of what you've been doing, as you can see. So there's a whole bunch of visual indicators in this tool as to where you've been working with provisioning packages and what types of settings that you've been setting. Now, if we go over to the right panel here, you'll see that we have a selected customization section.
Zoom it. I love it.
There you go.
Just for Rick Claus, we did zoom
it. Ex-evangelist, old habits die hard. All right, if we go into runtime settings here, straight away you can see an example of all the different settings that I've been playing around with at some point when I've been building this particular configuration package. So you can see in the account section here, I've set up a domain join, I've got a certificate that I've thrown down to the machine, I've upgraded the edition of the machine. I've even played around with the homepage URL for Microsoft Edge. So as I'm sure every single person in this room will be using Microsoft Edge as their preferred browser, I can set your homepage URL to what it should be. Why are you laughing? Are you saying you're not using Microsoft Edge? Stop laughing.
Is
Well, it's interesting you should say that there's no group policy that lets you do Microsoft Edge, because there's a man up the back who's not looking up at the moment, now he is. And I asked that exact question of him this morning because I had a person come up to me last night after we did the Windows 10 overview and said, you know, you can't change the Edge homepage in group policy. I'm like, oh, surely you could, because I know I can do it in the configuration package. And I went and asked Mr. Niehaus, who's sitting up the back, and he said, yes, you can in the new update that's just been released. So if you're looking at build 10.2.40, we cannot do that via group policy, but if we're looking at build
586.
I always call it 568. 586, the 1511 release,
yep.
Then you can do that in group policy now, so that's good. But it most likely means you'll need to download some new ADMX files and bring those in, but yes, you can do that now, which is kind of nice. All right, so we can see over here that we've been playing around with that, and if I just open this up over here and go into accounts, for instance, you can see that there's another visual identifier here that I've been playing around with this stuff. So when we play with a particular setting, we will bold that setting in the hierarchical view. And what's really cool here too is if we go and create ourselves a setting that is not complete and won't effectively execute, we will flag that within the tool in red so that you know that there's more things you need to do in there. And I'll show you how that might work in just a moment. If we click on something that we've been playing with, such as account, you can see here that we simply get the value and what we need to work with in this particular area. And then if we're not quite sure what it is that we're looking at here from an MSDN perspective, straight away we will get information fed to us from MSDN directly in the bottom pane, giving us the help information about that particular command and how it's relevant and what we can do with it. So what we've really tried to do with this tool is stop you from having to go out of that window, go somewhere else to do research, then come back into that window, figure out where you were again and start working with it. We try to make sure everything's right where it needs to be. So how did we actually get to this point in the first place? Well, what we'll do is we will create ourselves a new project here. So I'm going to create a new project like so. And what we're going to do here is we're going to create a new provisioning package to play with. So we'll call this one Macca's Package. No, we won't. We'll call this one Macca's. It's probably a better idea. Although, you know, it's getting late. The kids have probably gone to bed, but we'll leave that as Maccas. And we'll click the next button here. You'll notice by default what it's going to do is it's going to save that into your documents library under a Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer folder by default. The next thing it's going to ask us to do is choose the type of project we're creating here. So are we doing a provisioning package here, or are we actually building a system image similar to what we would have done in Windows System Image Manager in previous times? So I'll go with a provisioning package. The next thing we'll be asked for is what types of settings we want to configure. Now, the beauty of the configuration package is that within a single package, we can provide settings to be applied for any edition of Windows whatsoever. But if we want to limit what's inside the package to just settings that apply to desktop style editions, or just mobile, Windows Mobile editions, or even IoT Core, we can do that straight away. And if I do that on, let's say, a phone, I know that I'm not accidentally configuring settings that are not going to be applicable for that phone. So it's really nice the way it lets us do that. We'll go next. And here is where we can choose to import an existing provisioning package. So if I, you know, want to make some changes to a package I created earlier, we'll click Finish.
That's a bit of next finish going on there. That's pretty cool stuff.
And we'll bring that up. Now you'll notice there we also, instead of a blue progress bar, we gave you a green one because we just wanted to, you know, mix it up a little bit. Because you've all probably spent a large portion of your life looking at blue bars going from the left to the right of the screen. So now it's a green bar, it's a little bit fresher. If you had a dollar for every blue bar you've seen, you'd be extremely rich. If you had a dollar for every green bar you've seen, not quite as rich. So it's all good. All right, now what we're going to do in here is we're going to play around with some runtime settings. So what I might do is I might go into my connectivity profiles here, because maybe I want to set this up to automatically connect to a wireless LAN. So what I might do is go into my wireless LAN and wireless LAN settings here, and I might go and specify an SSD that I want to connect to. So what I'll do is I'll go in here and I'll type Maccas AP. I'll hit add. And straight away, it's flagging me that I'm not done. And this is what's particularly important here. Because it's all very easy for me to say, when I'm not really understanding how this works, to say, okay, I've created the SSID, all good, we're going to go and connect, and I'll just walk away. No, we're not. You've got to go ahead and finish doing what you've got to do. So it's flagging me that I've got a problem with the SSID, I've got a problem in my XML settings, I need to configure my security type. And just in case I didn't get it from over the left-hand side, it's putting everything that it possibly can in red. Great stuff, unless, of course, I'm colorblind, in which case I'm stuffed. But anyway, never mind. It'll probably be green, will it? All right, fine. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to choose a security type. Maybe we'll choose WPA2 Personal. And then again, it's directing me to where I need to go next to complete the configuration. Let's put in the security key. And now it's got what it needs. So as long as I haven't got any of that wrong, as far as the provisioning package is concerned, we're in a point where we can go somewhere. Now, once I've done what I need to do, the next thing I'm going to want to do is either deploy that provisioning package. And when I choose to deploy a provisioning package, like so, my options are to deploy that to a USB stick or some kind of removable drive. So making the assumption that we just want to get that down to a piece of media that we can use to execute that from. And we will be asked what we need to do from there. The other alternative, maybe I want to put this on a web server. Maybe I want to provide a URL to the PPKG file, and maybe I just want to stick it in a UNC path. So my other option here is just to go into the exporting capabilities like so, and export it as a provisioning package. So this is where we can set up things like, you know, descriptive information, versioning numbers, and so on and so forth. I'll just hit next. Yep. The rank between 0 and 99. I've actually tried to figure that one out for myself. I haven't found the answer to that one yet, but thankfully.
It just says specify between 0 and 99.
This is one of those times where it's really nice to have Mr. Niehaus up the back of the room. What? You were talking to me? The rank in a provisioning package. There you go. If you have two provisioning packages with the same version, the rank will be what wins.
The higher rank will actually win.
The higher rank. No worries. Right, the next thing we're doing here is choosing to encrypt the package or sign the package. Notice that the encryption password is particularly strong.
This is happening live.
Happening live. Well done, Oren. If you can refrain from doing that, that would be awesome. And then choosing where to save. Was that Oren or was that Rickster that did that before? Oh, on you, Rick. And then and then choose where to save that, and then we're off and running. So that basically gets us to a point where we've saved the data out. And then as we saw before, we then end up with a bunch of files that actually represent the different assets that we have available to us. So the PPKG file is what we're actually executing at the end of the day to get this done. And then the output of the settings, et cetera, goes into the various XML files, as well as any other assets that we need in order to apply these settings to the machine. Notice a log file as well, so if you have issues, then we can... That really confused me there. Well done, Oren. If you have any other issues, you can go through the log. Why did you have to have Twitter on this machine, man? And go from there.
Easily fixed.
Now, what we might want to do now is actually have a look at what this might look like on a phone device. So we've seen how we actually got to this particular point. So Jeff, you got a phone device there. Do you want to actually
Yeah, I got this this new phone. Can you help me with this as well?
I can't. You have to do
I got this Lumia 950 XL that I've been playing around, and I got to get that provisioned to work with the enterprise. So let me just log on with this device. I'm going to load up the wonderful Project My Screen app, which is now not working, but that's okay. We can fix that. So let's just do that again. Okay, so I'm just going to log on to this device.
It's a bit of Windows Hello action.
A bit of Windows Hello action there going in. Just a bonus for you guys, so that was really cool. So we got a Windows 10 phone.
Can we just stop there about Windows Hello for a minute? So remember, for those of you that were here yesterday, we did not force Jeff's head onto the photocopier to take a photo of his face. Neither did we then attempt to show a photograph of that face to the phone and put a backlit lighter at the back of it to try and simulate thermals. Yep. It actually saw all of that itself with infrared technology.
So that one was actually doing iris scan. I created that without my glasses on, and even iris scan goes through the glasses on the phone. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, so I got my phone.
Beautiful.
Right? So I'm going to go and have a look at getting my phone set up for provisioning. Okay, so you notice in Windows Phone, we're trying to make this a consistent interface across all the different devices that we have here. So when you go into settings on your desktop or your tablet device, it's going to look the same. So what we actually have to do here is we have to go to the same place, go to Accounts. It's slightly different in Windows 10 Phone right now with the build that I'm currently on right now of Windows Phone. We have a new option here for provisioning. Okay, so we have a provisioning option there, and it says, okay, where are you going to actually go and get this package from? Now, there's a couple of ways we could do this. With a phone, we could use NFC. We could use tethering, so we could tether it to the device, drag the package over to the phone itself, and then we would have that ability to add that package. And Windows Phone is going to come straight up and say, hey, you've got a new package. In this case, I've got a 32 gig micro SD card in here that I'm going to go and add that. We're going to choose removable media again on this device. And it says Windows 10 Mobile, and I'm going to go and add that device. Okay, so it's going to go away and it's going to add the changes. In this case, it's going to tell me, okay, is this from a package, is this from a source that you actually trust? Same message that came up on the desktop itself. It's going to tell me what it's going to do. It could be locking down the interface. It's going to add or change file content on this device as well. Okay, so we're going to go and go, yep, add it. That's all good. When do you want to give away the t-shirt?
Oh, whenever.
Whenever?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds excited.
It's a t-shirt. All right, what I'm going to do is hold up the best tweet. All right, Rick, come and get your t-shirt, mate. There we go. Who has already managed to find themselves one of these down at the Microsoft Showcase? Who's already got one? Hands up. Wow. What we is are being stingy this year, aren't we? All right, fair enough.
Who knows what it says in binary code?
0100010.
No, what it says in English in binary code.
It's a joke. Can anyone tell what that is there? No, that's the funny bit. Sorry. All right.
Oh, Rick. Rick.
Who let him out? I've got another one if anyone wants it, but it requires me to draw something.
Okay, so let's go back to our demo here, and what happened when we did this package? Okay, so the package is going to go in and add a document, so that PDF. Obviously, I'm a new employee, so I want to have the same document on my phone that's on my desktop machine. So I'm going to go into my File Explorer, and I'm going to go into this device, and I'm going to go to my Documents, and you can see that my Ignite Showcase Demos has already been copied to this device. I also have another document that I got copied to the device, and also we have a really cool application that we've developed on Windows Phone that you can manage your certificates. Okay, so on Windows Phone, if you're pulling down, if you're managing certificates on the device, we have just basically go into the store, search for the Microsoft Certificates application, and you can see the Microsoft Root Authority has been added down to my device. So my device now becomes compliant, and I'm ready to rock and roll for this particular device. Field Medic was the one that you mentioned before. While you were talking, I busily installed that. This is for troubleshooting on Windows Phone. We can go and do some reports. We can start logging on the device. So if you want to troubleshoot some of the issues that are going on with the phone, we can go and get device status information from the device as well. So that that looks more very much like the MS-DOS prompt application that you can get on Windows Phone as well.
Them were the days, mate.
Them were the days, absolutely. All right. So you want to go back in and have a look at how we created the mobile package. I've got that open in another window, so you can do that. So
this is
tricky. All right, so you got to go and escape out of that guy. And you'll notice we've got another tab here for Windows 10 Mobile. Okay, so remember when Macker actually went in and he said, what platform is this actually for? You could say all editions, IoT core. To create the mobile one, I just said, this is for mobile. Okay, so it will determine what you actually see in the options that you have for runtime settings. Because these runtime settings are specific for a mobile device. And you'll see things like NFC. Okay, so we've got NFC options here for when we're going to connect to an NFC, this package by NFC. So they're specific to that type of device. Did you give the shirt away yet?
No.
All right, do that now, and then we're going to swap over, and we're going to talk about the ending.
Okay. First person to yell out mongoose.
Mongoose.
Oh, damn, that was too hard. All right, hands up, anyone in the room that still has a Windows 2000 server in their environment. You poor bugger, you can have that. There you go, well done.
That's five.
By the way, we have around about 500 of those in the showcase, so you should be able to easily get one if you go down and
see
someone.
Who do they see for one of those shirts?
Who do you see for one of those shirts?
Leah Artini.
So, for the benefit of all of those listening on Channel 9 who are about to jump on planes, get in cars, etc., to come to the Gold Coast 3 weeks after this event is finished, it's probably not going to help you at this point. There you go.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up real quick and talk about the typical use cases of where you would actually use runtime provisioning packages. Okay, so the use cases that we've kind of looked at, I've got a happy guy here setting up a new device for an employee. He's just got his new package. He's really happy that he's on Enterprise. He got his company certificate. His computer name was sorted out for him. He's all good. He's super excited about
that. Looks like his VM in Azure's working pretty well.
Working pretty well for him. You know, he did domain join. My favorite features of Windows 10 is being able to do AAD join right out of the box, which is great. So he's done domain join with a service account. He's got the Wi-Fi profile. Everything is
and
good.
And he's got his best flannel on as well.
So that distribution is via USB stick. Got to do that for some reason. I don't know why. Point of sale devices. We're starting to see mobile devices being used a lot in point of sale. This will allow us to do a device name, edition update, company certificate, Wi-Fi profile, get that device actually set up the way we need it for the point of sale application that we're going to be using, push the line of business applications down to the device that we need to do. A lot of what provisioning is born out of is it's born out of the fact that when you get a new phone, how many of you get distribute phones to your users? All right, do you ever rebuild those phones, except if, probably if it's an Android device? Do you re-image the phone? Do you re-image the phone? Yeah, no? You probably just give them the phone, and you know they just go and do what they need to do. This is where provisioning kind of came out of, is the fact that we don't tend to rebuild phones. We give them to the user. We might put an exchange profile on there for them. They connect to an exchange,
pin policy gets pushed down to the device. Okay, so point of sale devices is one way to do that, and that's distribution via Tether, NFC, or SD card.
And I might just add there with the point of sale devices, generally speaking, those are single task devices. And one of the things that was mentioned there at the bottom of that previous slide, if you just want to flip back, Jeff, was assigned access. So assigned access, otherwise known as kiosk mode, is one of those settings that allows us to ensure that only a single application is running on that device. And when it comes to something like a point of sale device, we don't particularly want the user jumping out of that environment and doing other things on the device which may be considered a security issue. So that's a particularly important point there.
Awesome. Thank you, Mecca.
No worries.
All right. Good stuff. BYOD devices. We talked about this before. This is where we're seeing a lot of customers are starting to do this. It's BYOD. There's a number of different terms for it. This is either through email attachment or a URL that you can actually send to the user. All right. So that's the other option that we have for those devices. Embedded into an image. You might have noticed in the Windows, the Wicked tool, that we have the option to do runtime provisioning settings and also imaging settings. So you can embed this into an image and use it as part of your overall image engineering process that you want to do. Okay? Do the same thing, company root certificate, automated MDM enrollment. So that's the option you have it to embed it into those images as well. So we are at 5 minutes early for our question time, and we have plenty of time. It's almost 7:30. We will now open up for questions, but before we do that, please, complete your session evaluations. There are prizes to be won. Anybody won a prize yet for your evaluations? Has that happened yet? I don't think it has happened yet. Okay. So, questions?
Win32 apps.
Win32 apps. I believe so, yes. Is it Win32 apps or just universal apps?
No, Win32 apps.
Yeah, Win32 apps.
Win32 scripting area. So if you go into the apps section, it will only allow you to play with AppX files. So what you're actually doing is you're essentially scripting a reference to the MSI and getting that to do an install. And consequently also, if you're wanting to remove vendorware from the machine, then you need to understand the uninstall string and reference that as well. So whilst some of the material you may have seen may give you the impression that it will just magically figure out what a vendor's bloatware is and remove it, it's not actually the case. You need to be able to identify the stuff you need to remove, identify the uninstall string that you need or the install string of the MSI that you need, and reference that via some kind of relative path in order to get to it.
There's some Docker on TechNet that talks about actually putting the machine into audit mode.
Yep.
And installing applications and exporting them in scan state.
Okay, so there's documentation on TechNet that talks about...
I'm not aware of it.
...exporting and using scan state. I haven't delved into that too much, but it's something we can certainly take offline with you. All right. Yeah, and I think we had one here first and then at the back there.
So with the deprovisioning, so if someone was to remove a package, can you set tasks for the removal?
So the question is, can you actually set a scheduled task is what you're talking about?
Deprovisioning task when they remove the package.
Yeah, so the question's around, can you actually set a task for the deprovisioning of the actual package? I believe you can, yes. Yeah. So the question is Pro the minimum requirement for you to move to Enterprise?
Yes.
Right. Mecca, are you? I'm not
or
sure.
My understanding.
Education.
Or education.
Enterprise or education.
My understanding is
yeah, I believe so.
Home.
Yeah.
Well, you can do it with home as well. You certainly can for education. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
So Pro to Enterprise, Pro is your minimum skill. I'm an education guy, so I go from home all Pro.
I'm just thinking kids are going to be coming in with cheapest edition, lowest cost.
I mean, I guess it just comes down to the fact that education style people are just generally better than everyone else, and that's why we can go from home all Pro to education, where the rest of you are just stuck with Pro.
That or it's a pity factor, I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, that's right.
Crikey. All right, any other? Yes, sir, over here on the right. Oh, I'll go here.
Through that Win32 section, could you technically apply a DSC configuration?
Okay, so the question's desired state. I like it. Desired state configuration. Could you effectively apply a DSC or a desired state configuration? I mean, DSC is really what we're doing on the server side of things. So I haven't actually seen whether we're able to actually do this on the client side. DSC, have you seen anything on DSC for this? I don't. Yeah. I have not tried it with DSC at this point.
You have the ability to execute PowerShell script.
Yeah, you
so
do.
Theoretically, why not?
Yeah. We can certainly execute a PowerShell script. There's no problem with that. So theoretically, yes, you could do it. Over here. Okay, so the question is, can you provision 802.1x profile? I think Mecca's actually madly looking through the UI. I believe you can, yes. But we're just checking on that for you. Yeah.
Yeah, ask the next question while I check.
Yeah. Where's the next question? There it is. Yeah. So the question is there a reset my PC at either end of the provisioning? I don't think so. And then there was silence. Is it beer time yet? Hours ago, wasn't it? Any other questions before we let you guys get out 15 minutes early? Yes, sir.
Can I just be clear that if you're buying 400 laptops
yes.
that are managed by the organization, you wouldn't use provisioning, you'd go back to your old imaging kind of profiles?
Okay, so the question's around you've bought 400 Surface Pro 4s? Something like that? Yeah.
300.
Yeah, 300, whatever it is. And is that a good scenario for provisioning? Would you, in your...
I was reading the presentation is that you wouldn't necessarily use it in that context, you'd still use your...
Yeah. In that scenario, yes, I would probably say you'd probably use your... Because you already have an image. You want to get your standard image down to that device. A lot of where provisioning actually helps out is that when you're just... one-off ad hoc devices gives you another option to get those devices in compliance.
Yeah, remember, we're not trying to give you the one solution to rule them all here. What we're doing is we're giving you different options for different scenarios. So if you're in a position where, yeah, you need to get 1,000 machines configured and ready to go, then provisioning packages may not be the most appropriate way to do that. You may utilize an MDT solution or a configuration manager solution to do that. Indeed, if you look at what's coming out in Configuration Manager, the next version of Configuration Manager, you'll have the ability to actually provisioning packages through Config Manager as well. So there are a number of different options that you've got available.
You can embed that package in your image.
Yeah, right.
And have that provisioning package effectively apply itself on every restart.
Yeah.
What would be the context of doing that, of embedding it? Would it be like for SSID or kind of wireless LAN? I mean, otherwise you still have that in your image.
So if you're putting, the question is what's the reason you'd want to put a provisioning package in your image? And one of the reasons you want to do this is because whenever the machine reboots, you want the settings put back the way they are in that particular provisioning package. The settings that are available to be set in that provisioning package put back the way they were. So if someone has been changing things whilst they've been logged in, reboot the machine, comes back to the way it was. But I don't want you to think of this as a steady state style
thing.
Users
don't change stuff, do they?
Apparently not, but there you go. No, so it's when you've got a core set of settings that you want to make sure are applied or provisioned to the machine each time it's restarted.
Yeah.
This is not a replacement for an unattend.txt that is going to completely install an operating system. Remember, what this is doing is putting settings down to an operating system that is there.
So the question for the benefit of the recording is that, is this going to replace an unattended script? And it was what he just said. We have some related content for you as well. We will take a few more questions. But if you are, I tried to make sure this stuff was actually happening after our session. I don't know how many times I've been to events where they put up related content and it's already happened. So I tried to make sure that this was happening after. So make sure you go and have a look at some of the deployment stuff. I particularly focused on some of the ILLs, the instructor-led labs, hands-on lab area. There's a bunch of stuff around using task sequences, using deploying Windows 10, using MDT with the update that supports Windows 10 now, and then deploying Windows 10 with System Center 2012 R2 Config Manager. Those are some really good, ILL content that you want to actually take advantage of. All right.
One other thing I would like to point out too, there we go, is aka.ms/edu-deploy. Now, don't get worried about the fact that it says edu if you're not in education. aka.ms/edu-deploy. You'll notice that in the related content that Jeff's referring to, there aren't any instructor-led labs or hands-on labs around provisioning packages that are appearing in that list. If you do want to play around with provisioning packages in a virtual lab environment, then go to that URL, aka.ms/edu-deploy, and go into the try it out Windows 10 deployment for education. In that particular lab, not only will you do an in-place upgrade of a Windows 7 machine to Windows 10, but you'll also build yourself a provisioning package and apply it to a machine. And it will give you a bit of a contrast between what happens in an upgrade scenario deployment of an OS versus what's happening in the provisioning packages and how that might work. Additionally, one other piece of related content which is not on those slides, mainly because we've just put it back into play over the last 24 hours, is the much bemoaned cancellation of the What's New in System Center Configuration Manager session has now been put back on, and it will be running in the last session slot tomorrow. I don't know what room, I think it's room 9, but check your... Yeah.
It's on Schedule Builder, so
yep.
We organise that for tomorrow afternoon as the last session of the day.
That's right, and there'll be some more deployment style information coming through that as to what's coming down the pipe in Configuration Manager as well.
Yep.
All right, so sounds like we need a beer. There's the obligatory final slide there. So if you need to go and look at this particular session later on, jump onto Channel 9. Of course, MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com is that premier place for you to go and check out all the latest stuff that you need. Of course, the best course in the world on Windows 10 being done by Pierre up the back there quite a while ago.
And in our other roles, I'm the content owner for the entire event. How's the content been so far this year? Yes, thumbs up. Yeah, all right, good clap.
Would anyone like to go back to a single day event in two cities? Didn't think so. All right.
Alrighty, thank you very much, guys. We'll see you at the pub, I suppose.
Thanks a lot.
You're going. Thank you. Have a good evening.